Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment that we might once again see Jesus and hear his words. Jesus, the Father's gift to us, the Father's life to us, that you bring us alive within by your power, O Spirit. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we've all heard this story before. We've all lived this story. Christmas morning, 1987. You run down the stairs with your twin brother, Jimmy. There's the Christmas tree. There's the early morning light filtering through the window just behind the Christmas tree with all of its lights on, blazing full. Your mother and father stumble out of their bedroom, get their cups of coffee, and your mother hands each of you your first gifts for the morning to open. And you can tell from the grade of the package, its odd shape and the way it squeezes and gives just at the right places, that this is an action figure. And you tear open your package, and it's a G.I. Joe. Leatherneck. You have been wanting Leatherneck for ages. A whole 3 weeks since you saw him in Woolworths. Leatherneck with his camouflage hat and his 80s mustache. Leatherneck, modeled after one of the designers of G.I. Joe. You didn't know that at the time, but Leatherneck, little green backpack, and his gun, and you're screaming, you're squealing, you're smiling like only a little boy can smile. The tears are starting to run down your face. Oh, I've wanted Leatherneck. I've wanted him, Mommy, Daddy. Thank you, thank you. And you turn to your twin brother, Jimmy, and your smile fades because Jimmy is holding up his G.I. Joe. It's Sci-Fi, the one with the black visor, the one with the metal breastplate and metal boots and the neon green outfit with the laser gun. Whoa, wait a minute. Your stomach turns sour. Wait, that's not fair. I wanted Sci-Fi. That's not fair, Mom and Dad. You begin to stomp your feet on that cool shag carpet. Not fair, not fair. And now the tears that were of happiness are tears of anger, sorrow, and just the total unfairness of life. That's not fair. Jimmy got Sci-Fi. All I got was Leatherneck. Well, we have precisely one of these magical moments in our gospel reading this morning. There on the cool Galilean sand, Jesus gives Peter the best of all possible Christmas gifts. Jesus gives Peter restoration. Three times Peter had denied Jesus before a charcoal fire there in the courtyard of the high priest. Oh, you're one of Jesus' disciples, right? No, I don't know. No, I don't know who you're talking about. No, you got it. You talk like a Galilean. I'm just trying to warm my hands by the fire. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you're really one of his disciples, aren't you? I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know. Peter, afraid of crucifixion. Peter, afraid of death. Three times he denies Jesus before a charcoal fire. And now, once again, before a charcoal fire, St. John is always keen to throw us these little details. Once again, before a charcoal fire, Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And each time Peter responds, Lord, you know I do. Yes. Feed my sheep. Follow me. And Jesus restores the traitor. Jesus brings home the lost sheep. It's a marvelous gift. It's like Peter receiving the gift he always wanted on Christmas morning. Leatherneck, the G.I. Joe. Tears streaming down his weather-beaten face. That grin like only a little boy can grin. Restored. Feed my sheep, says Jesus. No more fishing for you. Feed my sheep. And when you were a young man, Peter, you could put on your own clothes. But when you're an old man, you will stretch out your arms and you will be taken to places you don't want to go by people whom you don't like. You will be crucified like I was, Peter. The cross that you ran away from only a week or so ago, now you will learn to embrace it. Follow me. Follow me all the way to death, Peter. A second chance for Peter. Pure redemption. Joy, this magical moment. And then Peter, smiling, grinning, tears running down his face, turns and he sees his brother disciple, John. And his smile fades from his face and his stomach turns sour. John, Jesus' favorite, the one who's following Jesus all the time. John. And it suddenly dawns on Peter that John has gotten a G.I. Joe too. A little bit of a different one. One that maybe he wants a little bit more. Wait a minute. He's not going to have to be crucified, is he? What, I'm going to have to be martyred, but what about him? What about your favorite? Is he going to get to stay around until you come back? That's not fair. Peter is stomping his foot like only a little boy would do there in the cool Galilean sand. That's not fair. It's a sin as old as time, coveting our neighbor's life. And yet we human beings have a tendency towards it, to compare ourselves with other people. God has given us so much. He has redeemed us. He has given us the present that we always wanted. He has forgiven all of our sins. He has brought us into his family. He's given us meaning in life. And we're filled with joy until we turn and see our brothers and our sisters in Christ and their lives. That's not fair. I remember several years ago, just after finishing up graduate school, God had gifted both me and my wife the gift of getting through graduate school with all of its ups and downs, and we were ready for a new life of following Jesus wherever he might lead. And I applied to a position at a Christian college that I thought was a pretty good fit for me. I was excited. I got through the first couple interviews and rounds of interviews. I'm grinning like a little boy at Christmas. This is great. Tears of joy starting to come down the sides of my cheeks. This is where God wants me to serve. This is the gift God is giving me. And then I turned and looked, and there's another one of Jesus' disciples, and he's holding the acceptance letter. He got the job. Wait. What about him? That's not fair. You're playing favorites again, Jesus. It's not fair. I suffered through graduate school. I doubt he had to do anything. Look, and now he gets the job, and I, what? That's not fair. He gets the easy life. So I stomped my foot on the shag carpet and marched around our apartment in Texas, muttering to myself as I changed the one-year-old, pouting as I, took the stroller with the one-year-old through the mall. That's not fair. That's not fair. We can't help, it seems, but compare ourselves to other people in their lives. And I think In some ways, social media makes it even worse. I think sometimes it exacerbates it, right? We pull up Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, or even our Christmas cards. Josie's in the Bahamas again for Christmas? Another trip? That's not fair. The only trips I get are trips to Walmart. And that's especially crazy with COVID. That's not fair, Jesus. You're playing favorites again. It's not fair that they get the easy life. It's not fair. It's not fair. But of course, in our text this morning, Jesus, like any good parent, does not stop with that first gift. He gives Peter a second gift. A little bit of a talking to. It's not fair. What about John? That's not fair. He doesn't have to be crucified. Not fair. And Jesus just shakes his head. Lets out the sigh, looks up. Peter, you know, if he gets to wait and gets to stay alive until I come back, what's it to you? What's it to you? You just follow me. Don't worry about John. You follow me. Jesus' rebuke is clear. I've given you a certain path to follow. You worry about Peter. Keep your eyes off of John. Don't worry about what happens to John. If I let him live until I come back, so be it. But it's none of your business. You just worry about what Peter needs to do. Follow me. And that rebuke is a moment of grace in the story. It's a second gift. For not only has Jesus restored Peter to being the first among the apostles, but he has also given him the gift of not having to worry about any of the other apostles. Don't worry about John. You follow me. Don't spend your life fretting and concerned about how unfair life is. You just worry about yourself. You just keep your eyes on me. Jesus sets Peter free to just be Peter. To just worry about Peter. And like that good parent, Jesus gives us that second gift again this morning as well. It's not fair. It's not fair that he got the job and I didn't. It's not fair, Jesus. You are playing favorites again. And Jesus, letting out the breath, shaking his head, lifting his head again. If that's the life I'm pleased to give them, what's it to you? Why are you worried about them? You focus on you. Follow me. I've given you your life to live. You worry about you, Nevada. You worry about yourself, not everybody else. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Follow me. And again, that is a gift. You worry about Leatherneck, okay? Don't worry about sci-fi and what Jimmy got. You worry about your own gift that I've given you and how to use it and how to pursue life with your own calling. It's a gift because, again, we spend so much time looking around at other people and their lives and worrying about whether or not we have the perfect life, the easy life, when God has given us our own life to live. Don't worry about other people. You just follow me. You just worry about yourself. You just follow me. Because, the irony of all of it is that we do not know the pain that other people suffer. We do not know the sorrow that each life faces. I think back to that time all those years ago where I'm stomping my foot and that's not fair. He got the job and I didn't. And now all these years later, I know the rest of the story. 2 years after he got the job, his marriage collapsed. Sorrow. I didn't know any of that. Every life has its own pains, its own trials. Every person has their own calling. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about Jimmy with sci-fi. You follow me. Jesus sets us free to just follow him. And that's good news. You and I don't have to worry about everybody else. We just have to follow Jesus. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.